chapter 19, Luke 19, and I want to read just one verse that goes along with the portion Jim read to us in Matthew chapter 18. But in Luke chapter 19, we have from the lips of our Lord himself his purpose in coming to the world. It says in Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And I'll quote the other verse from John chapter 1. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you would look down from heaven and see your creation and turn to your Son and say, "Go, save them." We marvel that you would do this. Our God, how often have we looked upon a scene of destruction and turned from it, hopeless, in despair. Thou didst look upon it and send thy Son. We thank you. Thou dost know that he himself has spoken of it. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The shepherd goes to seek the sheep that had gone astray. We are thankful that you have brought these concepts before our minds. So by thy Spirit, develop them in the hearts of those who hear and prepare their hearts to receive the truth, and empower the lips of him who speaks. Thou knowest our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised to do. And for the results of this hour, we commit all into thy hands, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Last week, the message was "Found, the Messiah, by lost sinners." This week, the message is "Found, lost sinners, by the Messiah." Jeremiah was given a challenge that seemed to be ever so simple. The Lord said, "Do this, and if you find one man that is acceptable to me, the judgment that I intend to send upon Israel shall be withheld." He said, "Go and look, run to and fro, and look in Jerusalem and see if you can find a man who does justly and who loves truth. And if you can find him, I will withhold the destruction that I intend to bring upon this people." And he went and looked, and he was unsuccessful. So he said to himself, "I've been looking in the wrong place." He said, "I'm going to the great people. I'll look among them, and I'll find one and avert the judgment of God." And he went and looked among the great ones, and when he finished searching among them, the result was the same as when he looked among the ordinary people. How sad that God could look high and low and be unable to find a man that was worthy enough to withhold his judgment that he intended to send upon his chosen people. Well, think of this now. When God sent a greater than Jeremiah and his contemporaries to look over the conditions of the world when Jesus Christ was born, and when the Lord came and looked upon the scene, these are some of his descriptive words. He said, "You offspring of vipers." He said, "This is a sinful and an adulterous generation." He said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how shall you escape the judgment of hell?" And so what did the Lord Jesus find? he found the same conditions prevailing as Jeremiah did. And that is why I quoted to you John 1:11. It says, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. But when God looked upon the world, he saw it in its ruin, but he did not turn from it, but instead he sent someone to do something about it. He sent his son. And having sent his son, this is the general verdict. Remember, the general verdict. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. When he was offered as the king of Israel, they said, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him! Crucify him! He came unto his own, and his own received him not. However, it was not complete, because the next verse says, and this is our great consolation. But, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Now think of that. The majority rejected him. They received him not. But, as many as received him. And that's why Christ came to earth. He came for everybody, but he came primarily, and I may explain this in one message this month, perhaps. He came primarily for those who would receive him. His own received him not, but as many as received him. So, even though the world was in this hopeless condition, described in a way that is so insulting and is such a condemnation that God could not accept them. Still, the Lord Jesus came, and you heard in Matthew 18 that as the shepherd, he says, if there is one sheep that is gone astray, the shepherd goes and seeks that sheep. And it says in Luke 19, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Then you have a chance. If he came to seek and to save the righteous, not one of you would be looked for. But the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And some who thought they were righteous, the Savior said this to them. He said, the people that are well do not need a doctor, but the people that are sick. He said, I did not come to call the righteous well people, but I came to call sinners. So all of you have hope this morning. If the Lord were looking for one that was without sin, that was above reproach, then he would have the same failure that Jeremiah experienced. For the Lord said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost, and all mankind is in that condition until the Lord Jesus finds it. Now, salvation has two sides. It is the sinner finding Christ, and that's the verse I gave to you last week. They said, we have found the Messiah. That's the sinner finding Christ. But today, it's Christ finding the sinner. I have found my sheep that was lost. Isn't that remarkable? That the lost sheep can find the shepherd, but at the same time, the shepherd can find the lost sheep. The only sad thing about the portion that was read to us in Matthew is this. The uncertainty of it. I'm certain of this. That no failure will cling to the Lord Jesus in his task to find lost sinners. And yet that verse says this. He goes to look for the lost sheep, and it says, if so be that he find it. Aren't they strange words? I thought the Lord Jesus was able to find any sheep that was lost. Well, as to its location and where it is, he's able to find it. But God's Son himself is unable to find that which is lost because salvation is not simply God knowing where a sinner is and going to him and doing something for him, but it is the response of that sinner to the Lord Jesus when he finds him. You understand that? You say, then Jesus never fails. He never fails. There has never been a sinner in such degradation, so hidden from the view of mankind, that the Lord Jesus has not been able to discover his presence. But the Lord Jesus is constantly finding those that are lost, and when he finds them, he came unto his own. Look, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he's unable to find any sheep that will not receive him as Savior. Did you know that God was unable to do some things? You said God can do all things. No, he says concerning himself, God cannot lie. You say, well, he can't lie. No. And if God sets up salvation in such and such a way, he cannot alter the way of salvation that he has set up. Salvation is this. It is God giving and man receiving. Not the one, but the two. God so loved the world that he gave, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's not that God so loved the world that he gave and saved, but God so loved the world that he gave that whosoever believeth should not perish. And that is why Matthew 18 is uncertain. Because I promise you this, that if one or more times in your life the Lord Jesus has found you and has made overtures to you about the salvation of your soul, and if you said yes, he found you. And if you said no and rejected him, then he was unsuccessful. But his failure was not himself, but your rejection. You understand? That is why the Lord says, if so be that he find it, it's not in the least that the Lord Jesus overlooked some, that he was searching, but try as hard as he would, he was unable to find a lost sheep. No one gets that far away from the Lord. So, these are some things I'm going to tell you about this morning. I'm going to tell you about a shepherd that knows every location of lost sinners, and he goes to those places where lost sinners are, and if they will, he finds them. I'm going to tell you about that this morning. What is so remarkable is this. That he goes everywhere. That's not hard to understand. But the unsuspected places that he goes to find lost sinners. I'm going to mention five, and we'll see how time allows. This is where he goes. You know the first place he goes to find lost sinners? I'm putting in words that we can understand. He goes to church. You say, he goes to church? Yes, that's the first place that he goes to find lost sinners. Where is the next place he goes? The pig pen. You say, the church. The church and the pig pen. Yes, and every other place in between, because if we could think of symbols, the highest place of sanctity would be a church, and the lowest place of defilement would be the pig pen. And the illustrations I'm going to bring to you this morning are the Savior seeking sinners, and it says in John chapter 2 that when he went into the temple, he found the oxen and the sheep and the doves and the changes of money. And the Lord Jesus went and made him a scourge of small cords. And he went in and he drove them all out. And he said to the money changers and the owners of the doves, take these things hence. He said, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And they said, how dare you do this to us? By what authority do you do this? Now, where did the Lord Jesus find the abundance of lost sinners? He found them in the temple, and today he would find them in the church. I told you that he looked everywhere for lost sinners. And he doesn't go to church last. That's the first place that he goes. Because the church is filled with fools and blind and hypocrites and opportunists, and the Lord Jesus goes and looks for them there. So, you say, well, I'm not safe if I go to church. No, but the good point is this. Jesus is there looking for you, but he looks for you as a lost sinner, and he wants to save you. You say, my going to church doesn't save me? Why, if it did, there would be no such thing as the cross of Calvary. But a church and a group of people, that is the church, why, that is a good place to be, because the Lord Jesus is in the midst, and the Lord Jesus would like nothing better than to save sinners in the church. But most of them are self-righteous and say, we need not be saved. We are not lost. But the Lord Jesus answered that question. He was talking to such sinners on one occasion, and they said to him, are we blind? He said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. He said, your sins remain. And so there may be here this morning, you who refuse to acknowledge that you're spiritually blind and dead in your trespasses and in your sins. And you say, are we blind? And the Lord Jesus would say, if you were blind, you would have no sin. If you acknowledge that you were a blind, helpless sinner, the Lord Jesus said, I would do something for you. But now you say, we see. The Lord Jesus said, I'm sorry, I can do nothing for you. But remember that the Lord Jesus, being the shepherd with great wisdom, knows every location where lost sinners are to be found, and he does not fail to go there, and he goes to church to find them. He knows where to look. It reminds me of this, and it's quite appropriate, since the Lord Jesus called these people. He said, you snakes, you vipers. You know, as a little boy, I used to know where to go to find snakes. There would be open fields, and if you saw a piece of cardboard lying in that field that was flat but not too heavy, or a light piece of tin lying there, we boys knew what to do. We would take along glass jars, and we would go up very quietly, and then we would pick up that piece of cardboard, and there a snake would be. But you had to grab him quickly, because as soon as the light got to him, he would scurry to get away. And we knew where to find them. And so we would lift it up, and most of the time, we would catch them. Get them right at the nape of the neck, and then put them in that jar, and put the top on it, and then take them home and put them in a wooden box that had a screen over the top of it, and brag about how many snakes you had caught. Well, isn't it strange that the Lord Jesus does something very similar? He knows where offspring of vipers are, where sinners are, and he goes, and when he lifts their cover and the light comes in, most of the time, the snakes start scurrying. But if you allow him, he will find you, and he will change you from being a viper to being one of his own. Isn't that remarkable? He called them vipers on occasion, but after he saved them, he said, fear not, little flock. And then he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. So right now, whether you realize it or not, you're like a snake. And yet, the Lord Jesus is one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Lord Jesus can make you a new creation, and then no longer will you be described as a dog or as a swine or as a serpent, but he will say, now you're my lamb. You are my sheep. Now tell me, what are you this morning? How would Jesus describe you? Those that were in church, they were vipers. They were adulterers. They were hypocrites. They were perverse. They were faithless. But after he saved them, he said, my own, my sheep, my lamb. Now, how would Christ honestly describe you this morning? The wisdom of Christ in looking for lost sinners in church was brought home to my attention, and I've never forgotten it. It must have been about 40 years ago. an older brother, not much education, but a wise brother, was going with me to the meeting one night, and there were two ladies, fine-looking ladies, that were missionaries that were visiting that night. They went to another place, but for some reason, they were at the assembly that evening, and this brother went up and spoke to them, and I was thinking, these are fine-looking women. And he got the young one off by herself, and was speaking to her, and having an interesting conversation. I couldn't hear what he was saying. And afterward, he came to me and he said, that young lady just trusted the Lord as a Savior. I said, what are you talking about? She's a missionary. She's going to the foreign field. He said, I don't care. He said, she just trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. You see the wisdom of that man? Here is a woman that's in church. And the Lord Jesus said, she might be a sinner. And she was. She wasn't a hypocrite, but she was deceived. She was ready to dedicate her life to the Lord, but first she had not been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. She thought that by giving herself to the Lord, but by denying worldliness and ungodliness, that that would make her acceptable in God's sight. And so that is the way she appeared. And so I take it for granted she knows the Lord. But this older, wiser brother went up and spoke to her and talked to her about the grace of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has he saved us. Do you know what it is? As a hopeless sinner, with nothing to plead, do you know what it is? To trust in the merits of Jesus Christ? And this young lady said, no, I don't. She had been trusting in her own self-righteousness, but then she trusted in the merits of Christ. So you're here this morning. This place may be filled with lost sinners this morning. And so this is a wonderful place to look for the lost. And Christ knew that. But the difference is this, that having looked for them in church, it does not mean that he neglected to look for them in the pig pen. And you say, that's where most sinners are found. No, I think they're more found in church than in pig pen. However, there is a balance in between different kinds of sinners. Let's put it that way. And the one in the pig pen is that lost son in Luke 15. You remember? He went into the far country, and after spending his father's inheritance riotously, then he was reduced to feeding swine. And he was so hungry, he fain would eat the husks that the swine did eat. And so here he is in the pig pen, and yet the Lord Jesus knows that he's there, and he finds him in the pig pen. Let me tell you about the other places, and then I'll tell you things about them. He finds them, I said, everywhere from the church to the pig pen and all other places in between. At times, he walks along and he finds one up a tree. You remember Zacchaeus? The Lord Jesus was going down the road and he looked up and there was Zacchaeus, that little man, up a sycamore tree. And the Lord Jesus found him. And something ever so sad. Just before Christ gave up the ghost, he found another sinner on a tree. A thief that said, Lord, remember me. He also found sinners at the place of business. Because Matthew was sitting at his desk of toll, and the Lord Jesus went up and he found him. And also, he finds sinners by a well. The Lord Jesus saw this fallen woman, and he found her at the well of Samaria. And so think now. Here is the Savior who has looked for sinners in every conceivable place and unconceivable places as well. And he always finds sinners. So you come to church, you'll find sinners there. You go to the pig pen, you'll find sinners there. You'll find some of them up trees, and you'll find some of them at places of business, and some of them you'll find going on their rounds, the necessities of life, getting water out of wells. You find sinners everywhere, and Christ saves them everywhere. Some people would say, well, let's take this sinner from the pig pen put him in church and then save him. No. Let's take this woman from the well of Samaria, put her in church and then save her. Never. He saves them where they are and how they are. And then, after that, we'll talk about getting them in fellowship somewhere. But he doesn't take you to church and say, now I'm ready to save you. So this is what we find. We find that the Lord Jesus is so thorough that there is not one place that he fails to look for sinners. Not one place. And the Lord Jesus is so gracious. There is not one place he refuses to go to save sinners. Now, look, I'm here this morning. Thank God. I'm glad to save you. You see, we're in church. But if you said to me, I have a fellow that's filthy, he works at the pig pens, and I want you to go and speak to him, I would say, well, you see, and that's just spiritually. Just spiritually. Because there are some that are drunkards, there are some in boweries, there are some in places of ill repute, and I hope by God's grace, if you said, let's go, I would be willing to go. But it's easier to dress up and take people in church. But the Lord Jesus was prepared to go anywhere to save anyone that was lost. Isn't that gracious of the Savior? He's so wise that he knows everywhere to look. And knowing where you are, he's so gracious, he doesn't hesitate to go and save you where you are. That's a wonderful Savior. This is found lost sinners. Where? Why, in church, in a pig pen, up a tree, by a well, at a place of business. And the Lord Jesus is the wisest in the way that he goes about saving those lost sinners that he's discovered in their hiding places. Think of what he does. And the first thing that I tell you about is a contradiction to everything that men think. What do you do when you find a lost sinner in church? The Lord Jesus made a scourge of cords, and he drove them out of the church. You say, I thought he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's right. And the first thing he does is to drive you out of this place of sanctity that you think is going to give you standing in the sight of the Lord. He drives you out and lets you know what you are. He says you are filled with covetousness. He says you've made God's house a den of thieves. He says you've made it a den of merchandise. And he takes a scourge and he drives you out. Do you know what the world would do today? And this is what bothers me about many church leaders. They're quite prepared to find sinners in the church and say, just stay there. All is well. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus takes a scourge of cords and drives their merchandise and them, and he says, get out! And the Lord Jesus doesn't want one of you sinners that's going to continue to be covetous and adulterous and sinful after you trust in the Savior. He'll take you just as you are, and he'll cleanse you with his precious blood. But if you say, now, may I continue to be an adulterer? May I continue to be covetous? May I continue to be one who is a worldling? The Lord says, no, I'll drive you out. You say, that's the wisdom of Christ? Yes, that's the wisdom of Christ. The world would do anything in its power to add to its number on the church roll. Oh, I don't want to offend this man. He may never get saved. Will you remember the example of the Lord Jesus? He makes a scourge and drives them out of the church. You'll say, Lord, you've lost your mind. They'll never get saved. They'll get saved. The Lord must first bring to their attention the heinousness of their sin and hypocrisy and the purpose for which they go to church. And the Lord Jesus says the first thing you have to do is to drive them out so that they may come repentant and broken and contrite and changed. And then when they come back, yes, I'll receive them. But I'm not going to take them just as they are unless they're prepared to let me change them to make them worthy to be there. Do you remember that? When you see sinners, the Lord Jesus uses the wisest strategy in saving sinners. And the wisest strategy is not to let those covetous, adulterous, hypocrites stay in the church but it's to drive them out and say, you must be born again. And that's what Christ does. But in the pig pen, it is what Christ allows his spirit to do in the heart. He allows man to take the material things of the world, to enjoy them to the full, until finally he uses up all his resources and he becomes destitute and he's feeding the swine. And the Lord waits and waits and waits all that time. And he's working on your heart. And it says that that lost son came to himself in the pig pen and he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough in the spare? And I'm starving to death here. He said, I'm going to go home to my father. You see how patient the Lord is? He would rather have you learn those lessons at home. But he's willing to let all of you young people go out and become drunkards and drug addicts and experience all the vile sins of the world. And the Lord Jesus, it breaks his heart. But if it's the only way to bring you to your senses, and some people won't get saved until they get to the pig pen. And when they do, and they think it over, and they know that there is a Father who loves them at home, they say, I'm going home. And so that's the wisdom of Christ, to let you go your way. Not to restrain you, and then the moment he lets you go into sin. But some will not learn by the lessons of others, but they have to go their own way. But will you remember this? That when you've gotten that far away from God, the Lord Jesus still loves you, and the Lord Jesus will save you, and he has patience all those years to wait for you until you're ready to come home. Now, other ones, he does this. He saves not with patience and not with severity. Notice, he drove them out of the temple. That's severity. That's wisdom. Others, he patiently waits till they come to themselves. And others, he wins with friendliness. How? Zacchaeus was a publican. He was despised of the nation. But when the Lord Jesus saw him, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today, I'm going to eat at your house. And Zacchaeus said, somebody loves me. Somebody's willing to be my friend. And he made haste and came down, and he went home, and sure enough, they said, Jesus is going to eat with a man that's a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you need a friend, the Lord will save you by showing you his friendship. If you need severity, he'll use that on you. And at the same time, if you need the hard road of experience, the Lord will wait until you learn those lessons. And on other occasions, it's like this. You simply need a command. The Lord Jesus went up to Matthew at his place of business and he said, follow me. And Matthew arose from his toll desk and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, only the Lord knows when to say, follow me. At times he says, get out. At other times he says, come in. Those that were in the church seemed to be home. He said, get out. Here is this son that's in the far country, and by the Spirit he said to him, you come home. Zacchaeus is up the tree. He says, you come down. He always has the wisest strategy when the Savior is seeking lost sinners. And here is this woman at the well. And this is what's so hard, but he has to do it. What did he say to her? He's talking to her, and just at the crisis, the Lord Jesus says, go call your husband. And why would he have to bring that up? She said, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right. You've had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. You've spoken the truth. He had to reveal to the woman the sin that was in her heart. Some of us are afraid to do that. You're afraid to tell people that they're sinners, but they're not going to get saved unless they are sinners. And if prostitutes can remain prostitutes, they're not going to get saved. And if covetous are to remain covetous, they're not going to get saved. And if serpents are going to remain serpents, they're not going to get saved. But Christ says, you serpent. He says, you are a prostitute. He said, you are covetous. He shows you what you are. And he says, now that I've told you, I'll take you in spite of what you are, not because of what you are. And he loves you. And when everybody else has rejected you, the Lord Jesus said, you come on down from that tree. I'm going home and I'm going to eat with you today. So you see, The Lord Jesus never fails to find a lost sinner. The failure is always upon that lost sinner that Jesus finds, because some of them reject Him. He said to Matthew, follow me. And he followed him. And he said to the rich young ruler, follow me. And the rich young ruler's countenance fell, and he turned his back on the Savior, and he went his way because he had great possessions. And so, this morning, the Lord Jesus has found you. Will you respond to his call? Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this shepherd that you sent to find us. We pray that having discovered us as we are, and being prepared to accept us as we are, we shall not refuse his love and his truth. Grant us salvation, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.